This morning, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you prepared? Have you prepared? And this is a question I want you to seriously examine and ask yourself throughout this lesson. Ask yourself if you have prepared. The way this lesson is going to be set up is we're going to talk about an unprepared boy in Genesis chapter 22. We're going to talk about a prepared Savior. We're going to talk about how to prepare. We're going to talk about those who had the opportunity to prepare and those who did prepare but fell by the wayside. We're going to talk about those who have and have not prepared, and then we're going to talk about their reward. So first, I'd like to ask you, have you prepared your soul for an eternity? Your soul will face eternity one of these days, and are you prepared for that moment? There's a moment coming, and are you prepared? To kind of get a better idea of what prepared is, I mean, we all prepared to come to church this morning. We all got up and we took a shower and we brushed our teeth and I hope we put on deodorant and we got dressed and we prepared ourselves for the day. I prepared this PowerPoint to give this lesson. We're all preparing for something. Your life is only a preparation for what is coming. I'm going to ask Matthew Huff if he'd do me a favor at this time. I'm going to put the floor over to him, and I'm going to see if he can quote to me John 11, chapter 35. If he would stand up at this time. If he can't quote it, just say he can't. But if you can, the floor is yours.
Jesus wept.
Okay, thank you, Matt. As you see, John 11, chapter 35 says, Jesus wept. And I text Matt on Friday night. I say, can you do me a favor? Can you quote a scripture for me? You see, and Matt can quote that because he was prepared to do that. He had 2 days in advance. I said, you can pick any verse you want. And he says, Jesus wept. And he did it perfectly right. And that's one of the reasons Matt was prepared to do that, is because I asked him to. Now, if I had just said, hey, Matt, and I would have never told him, I said, quote John 11:35. He may have forgot what it was. He may not. I'm sure he would have known. The other reason he would have known is because Matt studied the scriptures. He's read this verse multiple times. And he knows that John 11:35 says Jesus wept. Now, Matt, I've got another question for you. Can you quote Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse 10? And if you can't, he can't quote it. Well, there's a reason. It's because he's not prepared. He had no idea I was going to ask him to quote that one. Well, Matt, I can't quote Jeremiah 21 and 10. I don't know if anyone here can. I'd be impressed. I read it when I was putting the lesson together, but I don't know what it says. You see, he can't quote that because he wasn't prepared. He had no idea I was going to ask him about that. Another reason is because that may be a more difficult verse to prepare. It's longer. You know, he may not have studied it as much. So that's what preparation is. If you're prepared for something, you will pass the test. If you're unprepared for something, you will not pass the test. If you are prepared. First, in Genesis chapter 22, let's read about an unprepared boy. We all know this story. It's Abraham and Isaac. And God comes to Abraham and he asks him to do something. We're going to read about that here in Genesis chapter 22. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You see, Isaac was very unprepared for this. He didn't see this coming. And you know, whenever dad hands you the wood and he pulls out a knife and he's got fire, Isaac's probably starting to get a little fishy, but he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand, so he asks his dad, he says, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? In verse 8 it says, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a ram for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and bowed to Isaac his son." At this point, Isaac knows what's going on. He understands. "He bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thy son hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." So you see, there's two kinds of people in this story. There's prepared and there's unprepared. Abraham was prepared. Isaac was unprepared. But Isaac had no means to be prepared because he didn't know what was happening. He thought that they were going up to make a burnt offering. And he says, "Dad, where's the lamb?" You know, he's starting to realize he may think they're not prepared by their supplies. They have wood. They have fire. He builds an altar. They have the supplies for that. They bring up two other men with them. It's a 3-day trek to get to this mountain. They were prepared to go up there. But Isaac was not prepared for what was going to happen. You see, and he was able to get out of this death because of his dad. His dad fears God. His dad had faith and obedience. And that's how Isaac got out of this situation. But he was completely unprepared. He was completely unknowing about what was going to happen. He had no idea. I've got a few pictures here. As you can see, Isaac, he has no idea what's going on. He thinks they're going up there to do this very righteous act and make a burnt offering. They're going up, they're being parted from the other men they took with them. And next thing you know, Abraham's about to offer a son before the angel of the Lord stopped him. So you see, Isaac was very unprepared. He was very unknowing. We're about to read another story about a man, the exact opposite. Isaac unprepared, Jesus Christ very prepared. I've got Matthew 16:20-28, but I believe we're just going to read verse 20, maybe in 21 here. It says, "Then charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Jesus knew. He was talking to the disciples. He was showing them and he was telling them about this death that he would encounter. About this death that he would have to come upon. He knew. He had the foreknowledge. Can you imagine what that would feel like? Isaac had no idea. He willingly went up on this mountain with his dad. Dad asked me, he said, "If I took you up and tried to do that, would our relationship ever be the same?" I said, "Probably not." I remember a lot of times when I was younger and Dad would say, "Hey, come on, get in the truck, let's go." And I'd say, "Where are we going?" He'd say, "Don't worry about it." And if I had known the story when I was younger, I wouldn't have ever gotten the truck. You can believe that. But Jesus knew. Isaac didn't know, and Jesus knew. You can't blame Isaac for being unprepared in this situation. But Jesus was prepared. He was talking about this that would happen. He knew he'd be raised up the third day. He knew he'd be killed. He knew who would kill him. He was completely prepared. He was completely ready for this. Next, let's read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 39. It says, "And he went away further," this is Jesus, "and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus was completely prepared. You see, he asked God, he says, if there's any way I can get out of this, let's make it happen. But then he says, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He was ready. He knew what needed to be done. It was God's will. And he was prepared for that. He'd lived his entire life in preparation for this. In verse 41 it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." He goes and he prays again. Jesus is very serious about this. He's very worried about this. He prays a second time. He says, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." He knew there was only one way to finish the preparation. and that was to drink the cup. That was the only way he could finish the preparation. He says, "Thy will be done, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Is he not prepared for this? How prepared was he? He didn't want to do it. Just because you're prepared for something doesn't mean you want to do it. But he was prepared. He'd lived that perfect life in preparation for this. He knew from the time when he was young that he must be about his father's business. And he knew from the last moments of his life he must be about his father's business. He was completely prepared. Are you prepared for the same thing? There's a death coming. Are you prepared? Because I'm going to tell you something. You have an advantage this morning. You have an advantage over Jesus Christ and you have an advantage over Isaac. Because there's a death coming and you can see it. You know it's coming. If you didn't think it's coming, you wouldn't be here this morning. There's a death coming for everyone in here. There's a death coming. Now you can be like Isaac and you can avoid this death. We have that advantage. We can avoid this death. We also have the advantage like Jesus Christ. We see it coming. We know it. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you change and do something about it? Because this death is coming. You can prepare today. First, we need to know how to prepare. We're going to go through these few verses here fairly quickly. How to prepare. You must go through the steps of salvation. You must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16 it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." How can you prepare for something if you don't believe it? How can you prepare for something if you don't believe it? It is impossible. You have to believe. You must believe. You can't do it unless you repent. In Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3 it says, "I tell you now, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." If you don't change, how can you prepare for something? If I want to prepare this morning for a 5K run, some things are going to have to change. I'm going to have to repent from eating chocolate and ice cream and eating a lot, and I'm going to have to run. That's a big change. There's some big changes that need to be made this morning. You must change to get salvation. You must repent of what you've done in the past. You must confess. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 it says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." How can you get salvation if you don't confess Jesus Christ? It is plainly written here, you can't be prepared for an eternity if you don't confess. It is impossible. Have you confessed? You must confess. And lastly, you must be baptized. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3 it says, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we should walk in newness of life." You can't have salvation if you're not baptized, no more than if you don't believe, and if you don't repent, and if you don't confess. They're all just as equally big as any other part of salvation. And if you don't do any of those things, you are not prepared. You're not prepared this morning. Have you prepared? You must prepare. Next, we're going to talk about some of those who fell by the wayside. These are people who may be prepared, have the opportunity to prepare, but they fell by the wayside. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15 it says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and the other fell onto the ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.'" Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. that are awkward, they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. So who are those that fell by the wayside? We have those that are tempted, those that are distracted, and those that are led away, and those who have returned to their old ways. These are those that fell by the wayside. These are those that had the opportunity to prepare, and they lost that preparation. They quit preparing. First, let's look at those who are tempted. In James chapter 1, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man, every one of you in here has temptations. Every one of you in here has lusts. Everyone is enticed by those temptations and lusts. Everyone in here, everyone out there, anyone in the world has these temptations and lusts and is enticed by it. There's good news, though. There's an answer for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What a great preparation we have here. God has prepared this way for us. He said He's prepared a way to escape. Aren't you glad He prepared that? If not, we'll all be among the wayside. We may be able to bear it. What a great preparation that we have. Next is those who are distracted and those who are led away. In Luke chapter 15, we'll read here part of the story of the prodigal son. It says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there was no substance with righteous living. This man was distracted. This son was led away. Not many days after he left home, he was distracted and led away. He had the opportunity, he had the resources, but he was led away and distracted. Have you been led away or distracted this morning? Have you fallen into those temptations? Next is those who return to their old ways. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22 it says, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow is washed to her wallowing in the mire. Have you returned to your vomit this morning? Have you returned to wallowing in the mire? That's what you have done if you have returned to your old ways. You've heard the word. You may have believed it, repented, confessed, and be baptized. But you went right back to your ways. Have you done that? Have you been distracted or led away? Have you fallen to those temptations? There's good news. There's an answer for that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 25 it says, for you are sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. What a great preparation. What a great preparation. We can return to Jesus Christ. If you have returned to those old ways, you can return back to Jesus Christ. If you have fallen to those temptations, you can return back to Jesus Christ. If you have been led away and distracted, you can return back to Jesus Christ. What a great preparation we have. In conclusion this morning, we're going to talk about those who have and have not prepared. We've read some stories. We've seen some people that have prepared. We've seen people who were not prepared. I think this story fits it pretty well. Those who have and have not prepared. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. You can guess who was prepared and who was unprepared. We already know. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After there came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. There's two kinds of people in the world, those who are prepared and those who are unprepared. This will happen to the unprepared. They will be shut out. If you are unprepared, you will come to the door, you will bang on the door, you will cry, Lord, Lord, let me in. And he will say, Depart from me, I never knew you. You are unprepared. You are not prepared. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. So you must prepare now. Now is the time to prepare. Now let's talk about a reward for those who are prepared. In John chapter 14 and verse number 2 it says, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a great preparation. You know, something that comes to my mind when I read this is how old the earth is. If you study and try to find out how old the earth is, it's not as old as most people would think, but it's thousands of years old. And he's been preparing a place for thousands of years. There's some pretty beautiful places on this earth, and he prepared them with his word like that. Just think about a place he's been preparing for thousands of years. How great can that be? How great of a preparation can this be? You don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out on this preparation. Now a reward for those who are unprepared. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 49 it says, So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you are unprepared, this is your preparation. You lived your entire life for this. This is what you did. You prepared for a furnace of fire, a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Will be your home for eternity. You will never see the face of God. This will be your home. You will never crack a smile. You will never have joy. You will never have happiness. You will never have peace because this is your home. If you are unprepared, this is what you're looking forward to. This is unpreparation. You know, there are many things that there's one thing promised in this life. In this whole life, you have one thing that is promised, and that is right now. That is all that you have promised, right now. You don't have an hour. You don't have a day. You don't have a week or a year. You don't have it. You have right now. That's all you have. Because if you are unprepared, we don't know when Jesus is coming. You are not prepared to make it to that door. You are not prepared to make it to that car. You may not make it to that car. You may not make it to the door. You may not make it out on the road. You may not make it to your homes. You may not kiss your children goodnight. You may not kiss your mom or dad goodnight. You may not tell your loved ones that you love them. You are only promised right now. That is all that you are promised. But there's one other thing you are promised if you are unprepared. A furnace of fire. It's a promise. You will have a furnace of fire for eternity if you are unprepared. That's what you have to look forward to. You know, Dad says in one of his lessons, I'm going to steal it from him. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, anywhere there's a gospel meeting, there's a preacher who says, Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow could be too late. And I think we shrug that off because we hear it so often. But it's the truth. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late. One of these days, a preacher is going to be right. I could be that preacher. Tomorrow could be too late. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for a furnace of fire, wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity? Or are you prepared for a home in heaven? If you're not prepared, you need to be prepared today. You need to be prepared right now, because this is all that you have, is right now. You have this moment. Please prepare yourself.